Today, our topic is change. That's a topic that impacts all of us, isn't it? Someone commented this week upon hearing the topic for the sermon that change is really life's only constant. How we think about and respond to change greatly impacts our emotional and spiritual and relational, even our physical health and well-being. Today we're going to talk about dealing with change in positive ways, in healthy ways, so that we don't miss out on the life that really is life, the life that God intends us to have. Let us pray together as we begin. God, as we hear your word read and as it's shared, open our ears so that we can hear. Free us from distractions around us. Free us from all those things running through our minds so that we can really listen. Open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine, and open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. A family adopted a 40-pound, 11-month-old dog named Ebony. Ebony was very affectionate, and she was quickly accepted by all of the other animals in the family except one. Can you guess which one? You got it, the cat. The cat felt that his territory had been totally invaded. In protest, he became sullen and hostile. He went under the couch in the family room, and he refused to come out. Everyone tried to coax him out, but he wouldn't come. When anyone went near the couch, that cat would hiss and rake his angry claws at them. Ebony the dog, she really tried to be friendly. She would go to the couch and lay down there, inviting the cat to come and check her out and be friends. But all Ebony got for her efforts was a scratched nose. That cat wouldn't give her any chance at all. A story of closed-mindedness, right? This particular story is about a cat. But is it possible that it is also our story from time to time? New people come into our lives, new ways of doing things, challenges present themselves, changes face us, opportunities arise. Like that cat, do we sometimes hiss and claw at what's new, at the change? The Bible is full of examples such as this. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah was told by God to go to the city of Nineveh and tell the people that they needed to turn from their evil ways or they would be destroyed. But Jonah didn't want to do that. All his life, he had been told that the Ninevites were bad, and he had been taught to hate them, to exclude them. He didn't want to help them. So Jonah tried to run away from God. Like that resentful cat, he hissed and clawed at this new idea. And then there's a story in Scripture about the rich young ruler. He was rich and successful, but still there was an emptiness in his life. Something was missing. He heard about Jesus, and he thought just maybe Jesus would have the answer to his longing. But when Jesus told him to put aside everything else and follow him, the young man walked away. At least initially, he hissed and clawed at the idea of letting go of his possessions and his lifestyle, even though they left him feeling empty. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they're another example. They didn't like Jesus' new ideas. They really didn't like his approach. They didn't appreciate his focus on the inclusion of all people. They didn't like the fact that some people were listening to Jesus rather than them. They didn't like the way that he did religion. They didn't like him. They became so threatened by, so jealous of Jesus that they attacked his character. They tried to turn people against him. They wanted him to die. Can you relate to any of these stories when you're presented with change? I can. It's so easy, even natural, to be threatened by the possibility of change, suspicious of someone who is different, fearful of a new way, competitive about your place in society, uneasy about leaving old ways behind. This morning's scripture lesson, Paul is talking to a group of people who are being held in bondage by their old ways of doing things. And Paul says to them, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, what the scripture is saying is put your fear, your suspicions, your insecurities, your competitiveness, your old habits aside, and allow God to do God's new work within you. Celebrate the new life that is available to you in God's Son. All of us want new life. And yet, aren't there times in our life where we make choices that cause us to miss out on the new life that God has for us? Sometimes we miss out on the new life by focusing on our own personal taste, by being unwilling to be open to new ways of doing and experiencing and seeing. Church music has often been an example of this. There are usually some who feel the new songs are not quite as good as the old and the familiar. I want you to listen to two letters that were written by disgruntled church members. I'm going to keep the author's identity confidential. Letter number one. Please, no more new hymns. What is wrong with the inspiring hymns with which we grew up? When I go to church, it is to worship God, not to be distracted with learning a new hymn. Last Sunday's was particularly unnerving. While the text was good, the tune was quite unsingable. And letter number two. Was it the accompanist's idea or yours that our peaceful worship service was shattered by the new song last Sunday? The music was something one would expect to hear in a den of iniquity, not a church. Don't expect me to sing it next time. Glad they sang it the first time. So now I want you to listen to the song described in letter number one, in which the person complaining said it's distracting, unnerving, and unsingable. Take a listen. Recognize it? The letter? It's an actual letter written in 1890 complaining about a new hymn called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Now I want you to listen to the second song criticized as being something that one would expect to hear in a den of iniquity. Let's hear it. Recognize it? This letter was written in 1874 in reaction to the sacrilegious hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. When we are really honest with ourselves, are we ever like the authors of those letters? Quick to close ourselves off to new experiences, quick to judge something as wrong or bad or inferior because it's new to us or outside of our preference or comfort zone? In the final analysis, where music is concerned, it isn't necessarily important what we sing or the style with which we sing it as it is that we sing from the heart. And in the final analysis, where other things are concerned, it isn't most important whether the idea is old or new, comfortable or foreign. What's most important is that we have an openness to learn and experience and grow, to become open to the new life that God is unfolding in our midst and all around us. There's a good guide for us to follow when change presents us. And our initial reaction is that we don't like that which is new. Rather than immediately giving our opposition opinion, try it for a little while. Look at it through other people's eyes and see what might happen. Another way we sometimes miss out on the new life that God has for us is by focusing on rules rather than on love. There's a story about two monks. These monks were walking together through the countryside. Both had taken vows of silence and cleanliness, which meant that they weren't allowed to talk to or touch anyone. Their journey brought them to this flowing stream, and it was fast flowing, and they noticed a woman that was standing on the bank's edge. She was obviously afraid of the water, and so she stood there helpless. One of the monks ignored her plight, and he kept walking across the river. But the other monk saw the woman, and his heart went out to her. He knew that the law of his religion told him that he couldn't speak to her or touch her, but he also knew that a higher law told him to love and help people. So he picked up the woman, and he carried her across the swollen waters, and then he put her down on solid ground and went on his way. The other monk was furious with him. He fumed and fumed, and after many miles of silence, the first monk, in frustration, turned to the other monk and said, "How could you have done that? How could you have broken your vow by touching that woman?" And the second monk answered, "My brother, I dropped her off 10 miles ago. Why are you still carrying her?" The message in that story, it's the same message the Apostle Paul was given to the people in Corinth, and it's the same message that the Apostle Paul offers you and me today, and it is this: a new approach, a new way of life has come in Jesus Christ, and it's the way of love. The law of love, it supersedes any other law. So get rid of any attitude or activity or idea or lifestyle or mindset that keeps you from loving, honoring, respecting, and caring for each other. Remember that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, and love is what takes priority in the new life. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything is now new. Friends, let's not miss out on the new life that God has for us by insisting on our personal taste or by clinging to rules and regulations that suit our comfort zone. Let's refuse to settle for anything less than Jesus Christ and the new life that he has for us. Change. Change is a part of life. Some of the change that we face in life is good and exciting. But sometimes the change is challenging and scary and involves heart-wrenching pain and loss. And sometimes the change combines both of those things. Sometimes we initiate the change. Sometimes change is imposed upon us. But regardless of how change happens, how we deal with the change, the choices we make in the face of it, the attitude that we have around it, makes all the difference as to whether we invite death or new life in Christ into our lives. Let's go a bit deeper. Let's make this even more personal. Is there something in your life right now, a change before you that is causing difficulty and anxiety for you, that's keeping you away from sleep at night, that's making you frightened, that's keeping you from really experiencing and appreciating life? Do you need help to find life in the midst of what you're going through? If so, then reach out to Jesus. Talk to God, share your heart, come to church, pray, read the Bible. Let go of the old, take hold of the new. Jesus will walk with you in this, and your pastors and your church will too, if you but ask. Our bishop has a powerful image that he likes to use around change. He talks to clergy a lot about wing walkers in air shows. Have you ever seen wing walkers in action? Well, there is a first rule that all wing walkers follow. Any idea what it is? Don't fall off the plane. That'd be good. Pray hard. This is the first rule. Don't let go until you take hold of the next strut. But there is a big problem here. You see, struts are about 6 inches further apart than the average person's arm can reach. And so the wing walker must let go and for a split second not be holding on to anything before grasping the next strut. Friends, in a way, we are wing walkers. There are times in our lives when we must let go of the old without fully knowing what's next. We have to let go of the known in order to reach out in faith to grasp the new life that God has for us. And God always, no matter how bad, no matter how hard it seems, God always has new life for us. And when we let go, allowing ourselves to feel that moment when it seems that we aren't holding on to anything, it is then that we are grasping for the future, the new life that God has for us. And it's usually in those times when we let go of our comfort zone, when we face our fears, when we confront our pain and grief, when we risk failure, when we're willing to be vulnerable, that we find holy peace and hope and life. Friends, are you willing to let go of one reality so that you can grasp the new life that God has for you? For you? Will we as a church be willing to let go of some of our comfort and traditions and expectations so that we can live into the new life that God has for us? The letting go of the old and the grasping for the new involves both the welcome and the unwelcome changes in life. Can we face all the changes that present us in this life with faith in God, believing that God loves us and is with us and will enable us to experience a true sense of holy peace no matter what is happening? God give each one of us, may God give this church the courage to grasp the new life that God is unfolding. Scripture says this. Read it out loud with me. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so we have a choice before us. Let's not be like that threatened cat and hiss at Christ's offer of new, abundant life. Instead, let's open our hearts and our minds and our hands and our church. Will we let go and reach out for Jesus' next resurrection surprise for us on our journey? Will we choose to experience new life in Christ? Will we offer other people new life? I hope so. I pray so for our sake and the sake of the world. Amen. As we move into our offering time, I want to point you to the brochure that was in your bulletin today. It's highlighting our faith forum every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock before worship. There is a faith forum, and our theme this week is service above self, what's happening in Duluth and Superior, and look inside and you'll see the different people who are coming to speak to us, including our mayor and other community leaders, and you'll get to learn about so many service organizations that we might be able to partner with. And on the back of the sheet, you'll be reminded that we have a small group Bible study that meets every single Wednesday evening. You're welcome to come to that. And then for those of you who are at the meet and greets, you've heard me talk about the small groups that we're going to be having around the book Making Sense of the Bible, and we're ready to launch the first three small groups. Each small group will meet for 4 weeks, and we will be offering these over and over again during this year. And it's going to be a time for us to take a look at Scripture and look at it as God's holy word, as divine, as breathed by God, inspired by God, life-changing, and yet written by human authors at a particular time in history for a particular purpose. And we are going to balance those things and find the life and breadth and depth of Scripture. So if you're interested in taking that class, you'll see that there are three opportunities for you to sign up early this fall. In the common area, you can sign up for those. You can take a book as you prepare for that. If you can't make all the sessions in your group, you could also go to another group for a session that you're missing, but I encourage you to take that invitation seriously and sign up. And I bring this to you now because our education and our spiritual formation is one of the gifts that your giving makes happen. And please remember this, every time you give, of your time, your talents, your gifts, your service, your witness, God takes your gifts, blesses you, and blesses the world through you.